Principalities of darkness feed on ungodliness. They get...
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station. Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
And good morning and welcome to Wednesday Live. Hey, Wednesday's come already. Here we are, the middle of the week again, and want to just welcome the team. I have the Old Faithfuls. And I don't want to emphasize too much the old part on being faithful, but a few sunrises, sunsets, you know, they've worked us over here, and we're blessed by it. Karen, welcome. You're still getting fan mail. You know, your popularity in Jesus is growing around here.
Amen. Well, praise God for that. So hopefully, not hopefully, but the prayer is that God is being glorified through whatever I do here. So that's my desire.
For the longest time, I knew God had something more for you. And when it was time for you to move, you did that. Hidden Places, tell us about that. That happens on Fridays.
Fridays from 11 to 12.
Yep.
And yes, I guess Jonathan had heard from the Lord and a couple of years ago and said that both Dave and myself should have a one-hour program each, and I had no concept of what to do with the program or no leading from the Lord, but I prayed and I asked him what he wanted. As there were no parameters set, there were no boundaries, so the Lord had to define those boundaries, and he did. So Hidden Places was born, and so the desire is just to let the Lord reveal whatever treasures are in myself and those that I have on my program.
You know, there were days when I really thought you should have served your program with Kleenexes, because
we do have those days.
It was not weeping and gnashing of teeth like in a negative sense. It was joyful tears and celebration. That really was awesome. But that's great, and I know your family and audience is growing, and that's quite great. David, of course, is pushing the boundaries here, because you're in on Monday mornings and Tuesday mornings.
Monday and Tuesday,
two days.
2 days, the front line on Monday, which is basically lifting up ministries.
Yep.
Some are local, some are national, some are international. And it's a tremendous opportunity just to get people, you know, exposure to what God is doing. And then Tuesdays, a biblical response, which is response to what's going on in the world and in the news. The hot button issues that we look at through the lens of the Bible, the biblical worldview. And help people understand, you know, A, what's going on, and B, how do we respond to it?
Well, they're good programs, and we've been lifting up Ed,
yes,
who is a part of your Monday program.
Ed Skiba.
Ed Skiba. And Ed is in, he's in rehab. He's gaining strength. God's healing him, raising him up, and so that is pretty awesome.
Amen.
And you actually had a bit of your team in here on Tuesday while you were out trying to stomp on some attacks of the enemy, which you're recovering.
I'm recovering from that. I give God glory, thanks for that, and give him the glory.
Amen.
Someone had decided they wanted some money from our checking account.
Yes, and so your recovery,
it's
not like an addiction you're recovering from. It's an attack right.
But that's okay.
It's good to have you with us this morning. We are going to have another guest going to be joining us later, other than the guest that's in the studio, and I am super-de-duper blessed to have Gina Coulter with us this morning. And I don't know how long I've known you. I was trying to remember, but it's been a while. It's been a little while.
30 plus years, I think.
Isn't that amazing that God sustains us and continues to work in our life over all those years? I had no idea that I'd ever end up in a place like this, and you may not have either.
No.
So, Gina, we welcome you to WCNO. This is, I believe, your first time to come on air with us.
It is. Thank you.
And you are a wife?
Yes.
You are a mom?
Yes.
You are a runner?
Yes. Well, past, but yes.
Okay.
I'm done with it. It was a great, great go, but,
okay.
But the running shoes are hung up.
They're hung up. Oh, okay. And you have written how many books?
Three
books. And I read somewhere, at least at one point in your life, you had a couple days set aside every week where you just got alone with God and did some writing. Do you still do that on some level?
I do. I've always journaled since I was a kid. My cousin and I, when we were little, would go sit in a corner and we would write. And so then I have journals in my closet, multiple, many, that are on the bottom of my closet. And I would just always, it was something I did that was therapeutic. And then God started nudging me to start writing for him, for his glory, his words, and so I obeyed.
Wow. So how old were you, do you think, when you started journaling?
Gosh, I would say probably 9 or 10.
9 or 10. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Somebody's listening today that may think, I'm a little strange. I like to write.
No, it's great. It's therapeutic.
It's therapeutic. Oh, you've been doing this a long time, and your life is, it's an amazing picture of God's love and God's grace and God's blessing.
Yes.
And you went through some valleys.
Yes.
In your years, and your family went through some valleys.
Oh, they did.
And there may still be a couple more blessings coming for your family. I believe God, you know, he doesn't run out of those in his storehouse. But I want to just welcome you today. And to those of you who are listening, Gina does have these three books that are out. How would people find your books? Because someone's going to say, I want to find out more because God's given you a unique gift.
They are on Amazon. And then I also have a Facebook page called Gina M. Coulter, Refresh and Encourage, where I have either writings on there or I have videos where I share in transparency and authenticity and bringing God's word into that.
Okay, a little slower. Gina
M. Coulter, Refresh and Encourage.
Refresh and Encourage. And that's on Facebook?
Yes.
One day I'm going to have to get on Facebook.
No.
Well, you know, there's all kinds of.
It's old hat.
My friend. It's old hat. It's old hat.
Not okay, that Gina's so. Stuff is old hat.
Okay.
The young people will tell you that, right?
Yes.
Well, today we're not going to talk so much about Dad, though I would like to. And I have to tell you, you know, when you came in back, what's it been, like 3-4 months ago? Just stopped in one day and hadn't seen you in a way too long of a time. But how did you end up just stopping by the studio?
Mom.
Your mom, yeah, Brenda.
My praying mom.
Is she listening today?
I think she is.
She might be listening. Hey, Brenda.
She's there.
Okay.
Praying through all my prodigal years.
Yeah, she did that.
So she called me one day and she said, I think you need to go talk to Pastor Jonathan. And I said, why? Like, why? But I said, I had been praying through, God, what's my next steps? Like, I'm empty nesting. What does this next season look like? And I said, okay, I'm going to go. And so I came. And so here we are.
Here we are. And you brought some gifts along. You brought some books along. And I remembered your father handing me one of these books. And so it's somewhere in my books that haven't been unwrapped yet. I have thousands of books I haven't found yet. A lot of friends. But you wrote a really nice note here. Jonathan Rachel, Pastor Jonathan Rachel, thank you for all you do. Who you are to so many. And so you gave a nice little introduction. And, you know, as I got into this, I started reading it in the morning as a part of my devotion. So I would... There's many books I read. Some I go through year to year, and then I'm always adding, anywhere from 3 to 4 additional books that I'm reading at a time. And so yours became one of those, and I have to tell you, I stalled out some mornings. And that simply means that God was talking to me, and I wasn't ready to pass that chapter up. And so your book kind of looks like I was on a scribbling journey, because there's a bunch of notes, bunch of scribbles through here. But at the front of the book, fairly early on, I wrote in reference to Joe and Brenda Monticello and the family. Joe struggled. The great shepherd won. He always does. And that hit me one morning when I was reading about your dad and thinking about his journey and thinking about how you so amazingly tell the truth, sometimes in kind of a bold and maybe even a painful way. And sometimes you say it in a way that I blushed, you know, like, I'm not sure I could say that from the pulpit just because of me. Because of who I am, but I knew exactly what you were saying. So this is a book that we won't tell anybody how old you are, but you have, okay, so you're married, and your husband's name is?
David.
David.
Yes.
And how many children?
Two.
Two children, and they've got to be the greatest kids other than mine in the whole world. And so, Gina, I want to talk a little bit about your life and your walk with God this morning.
Okay.
And we have some time to jump into that. And the chapter in this book, let's talk about this book. It's Out of the Shadows. Where did this come in to your life?
So I just was praying through what the next book would be. The first one was more of a devotional style.
Right.
And I started praying through this one, and God just kept nudging on me. All the things we see in our world, how people respond to God, whether they've either fallen away or whether they're not believers, of these misconceptions they have of God. And I just started wrestling with that. Okay, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? What are those questions? And it was really cool, because how Dad comes into this is he and I would sit, and this was before he got sick, but we would sit and I would talk to him about, Dad, what are those things that maybe you struggle with, the misconceptions, right? Like you think about people you meet for the first time. You judge them maybe on appearance or maybe on how they talk or something. You judge them on the surface without ever getting to really know them. And I feel like a lot of people that are non-believers or maybe fell away from God, they had these misconceptions, right?
Yes,
and
absolutely.
So that's how the book was born. And Dad and I sat, and we went through some of the questions, and then it laid idle till after he had died.
Yeah.
And I picked it up maybe 8 months after he died and finished it out. I knew that it was time.
So the book he gave me would have been your first book.
Yes.
That would have been the first book. And he was so proud of you. I never forget that day he came in. We were in the second location on Central Parkway. And he said, this is from my daughter. My daughter did this. And so some of these topics, you may be listening today. You may have some questions yourself, because I think all of us do. But just who is God? That's a pretty good question. Science versus God. God is real, not the devil. Number five, we don't know who God says we are, and we're going to go there in like really quick time. And six, how can God want to be close to me or love me when I have so much shame and guilt in my past? That is a powerful chapter. Seven, I didn't have a good father, so God must not be a good father. A lot of people say, don't tell me that God is my father because my father beat me, or my father took advantage of me, or he abused me. And then eight, if I'm a good person, won't I go to heaven automatically? And such forth and so on. It's a book of misconceptions, really. It's very well written. And so I want to go to chapter five, misconceptions. We don't know who God says we are, identity.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about that.
So from my youngest years, I had a relationship with God probably from 9 years old. I remember sitting at my grandmother's in her house reciting after Jimmy Swaggart the prayer of salvation.
Sweet grandmother. Yes. I remember seeing her.
My grandma was our prayer warrior, our faithful servant of our family.
She was a matriarch, wasn't she?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And her and my mom, very much intercessors, and I know my mom still to this day. Like, she'll call me and say, I need to be quiet today. I'm just in prayer.
Yeah.
And so I grew up with that foundation. being slain in the spirit at church, pastors laying hands on me. But then I walked away, right? I got to my teenage years.
Wait a minute. What is being slain in the spirit? Somebody's like, what in the world is this lady talking about?
Pastors pray over you, and it is a feeling that I can't explain of where it felt like an electrocuted feeling, a piece of God. Yet it was where I felt like God spoke to me. It was just, I can't describe it.
It's being overwhelmed in the presence of God. Yes. That's what it is. Overwhelmed in the presence of God to where you simply are caught in his arms. It's an awesome thing. Okay, so go on.
So having all of that foundation.
All those experiences.
I got into my teenage years and I walked away from the Lord. He knew what he was going to have for me on my journey, but I walked away. I went through rape. I went through divorce. I went through abusing drugs on many levels, living down in West Palm Beach. It was my, I'll say, studio 54 years. I got into things that were destructing of my body, of my temple. And God brought me to this place, and I thank God for it, because it was the end of myself. But I had to come to the end of myself to come to the beginning of him and what he had. And I clearly remember I had been out one night. I had partaken in too many things that I shouldn't have had. And I knew that I had overdosed. I went home. For whatever reason, I got right in the bathtub with my clothes on. And I laid there in the water shaking. But I remember my prayer was, God, please don't do this to my parents and my sisters.
Wow.
Don't take me from them like this. Please, I'll do whatever you ask. Just save me.
Wow.
And here's the ironic, amazing thing of all of it, which didn't hit me until a few years ago. I was in the bathtub. When I came up out of that water, he had baptized me. He had taken all of it away. I never needed rehab. The taste, it was gone. It was just completely gone. And when I think about that, even to today, I just am so thankful, because I see where other people have gone in their lives where maybe they haven't had the taste taken away, or they have to go to years of rehab. Like, he redeemed me and he restored me and he took all of that away. And I'm in work still every day. I'm in process. He's not done with me yet. And I still don't even know completely what he has for me, but I follow and I walk because of his goodness of taking me out of that. I promised I would do whatever he asked.
So you really came to the end of yourself. You may mention the fact that we know people that struggle and struggle, but isn't all of the struggle to get us to the end of ourself, where we can actually just surrender fully to God?
Yes.
I want to jump back earlier.
Okay.
You were bullied.
Yes.
That's kind of a big buzz word today.
Yes.
It didn't just start happening, did it?
No.
Tell us. What happened? You're just a little girl.
I'm just a little girl. I had been electrocuted when I was 3.
Wow.
How
did that happen?
So I wanted this little snowman that my mom had up on a table or on the TV or something.
Right.
And in my little child brain, I thought, well, I can't pull it out. Right. It probably had like one of those child resistant, whatever.
Sure.
So I put my feet on the wall and I put my mouth on, trying to figure out how to get this out, and put my mouth on it and try to pull it out.
Ooh.
So I saw, you know, in the cartoons when you see the eyes, they're big and spirally. Like that's what
spinning.
I remember. And they're spinning.
Yeah.
And so I remember seeing that. And then next thing I knew, I was in the hospital and I could see, I was out of my body. I knew that I could see the doctors working on me. I could hear my dad in a frantic telling them, like, you have to save her. You have to work on her, because he got the blood to stop. When I got electrocuted, it burnt pretty much the whole one side of my face.
Wow.
It hit on a main artery, and it just kept gushing blood. And he finally got it to stop. As soon as they touched me at the hospital, it started again. And so he was a little frantic. But I was up above, and I was watching all of this go on. And my grandma would tell me.
And you're a kid.
Like, yeah, when I was a kid.
You're a kid, 3 years
died,
old or whatever.
Right?
Yeah.
And they sewed my face up where I only had half a lip, right? So I go into elementary school.
Wow, that's brutal.
And I have half a lip. Kids would watch me eat at sitting at the table, because a lot of things I had to do either through a straw, or like I could only take small bites, right? You only have a half mouth to go through.
Yeah.
And then I had this big, curly, unruly hair, which they had a field day with. So between those two things, I was always being made fun of. And nothing through my own. Like, that's the journey. That's how I was made. That's what things look like. But yet, these kids were mean and they were ugly. And I would go home and I would cry.
How'd that impact you?
Well, it made me feel rejected, not worthy, ashamed.
That's a big spirit, isn't it? Rejection is a huge spirit.
Yes, yes. And I grew up in that and under that, feeling that. My parents actually, because it got so bad, they paid for me to have a surgery at 10 years old, where praise God for that doctor, because now I have a full mouth. And sometimes it's too big. But so after that, you know, it was fine, but I still carried that. You know, you hear those voices. Things that people say to you are so powerful sometimes. And I didn't have that strength of the Lord yet at that age, where I knew I don't have to listen to these lies, because I know who I am, which you're going to get to.
So you were an easy target for the enemy to you were looking for love and acceptance. And though you had that at home, a kid's looking for that also in some way with peers.
Yes.
And peer support. Do you think that weakened you in some of the relationships you had?
Back then, it did, yes.
I mean, this date rape thing, that was kind of a crazy thing that happened. This was, some, what, a friend of the family, or you had known?
This was actually someone that I dated, that I trusted.
Okay.
Was very well known at our school. He was very much liked. So when that happened...
This is a popular, somebody that's popular, it adds credibility to your life, and and you're naive, and you're not suspecting, and...
Yes, and it was unexpected, and if I were ever to have told anyone, which I didn't for years, I didn't tell my parents till I think I was in my 20s, so I kept this to myself.
What would you say to somebody that's holding that secret in today? Somebody's listening right now that needs to hear this from you.
You need to confess. The Lord says to confess, to get it out. When we hold things in, and there's so many people like I did that held these things inside, and they cause bitterness and resentment and hate, and they just well up this yuck in your spirit.
Yeah.
And you have to go to someone who you trust, whether it's a friend, a parent, a therapist, and get it out, because Satan wins when we keep stuff inside.
Yeah, better turn the lights on, don't we? We got to turn the light of God's love, His grace, His mercy, and His redemption. So you have this horrible rape. That's a painful situation. You end up meeting somebody, you're still, the enemy's still nailing you down, trying to find love and acceptance and value, and you end up in a marriage, right?
Yes, I ended up getting married. It probably shouldn't have happened, because I was not in a healthy space. But I wouldn't trade it for anything, because through it, I learned about going to a therapist. I learned about getting help that I needed.
Wow.
And while it was really painful, I wouldn't have changed it, because it was part of my journey that God knew that I needed in my life. And so it opened that door for me to feel okay with going to therapy and okay with doing the things I needed to for myself, aside most importantly from my walk with God, but to be okay to go to a therapist, because many people hear that and it's almost a stigma. It's gotten better in this day and age we're in, but back then, 20 some odd years ago, it was a stigma, right? If anyone talked about mental illness or therapy. And so I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, so, you know, I remember struggling where, you know, I had a doctor tell me one day, he said, Jonathan, you know, if you break your arm, you do something about it.
Yes.
You know, if you're in an accident, you know, they stop the bleeding, you know, there's triage and such forth has to be done. But when it's something that's mental,
yes,
that might be emotional, maybe other things, it there's a stigma about that, to where you don't want to be identified as you know. And he said, your brain's broke. He told me that one day. He said, your brain's broke, you need help. So this was actually an opportunity in your life where you had all these deep issues.
Yes.
And God was able to take through that in some small way what the enemy meant for evil and start turning that around for good.
Yes.
And so that does not identify who you are today. We don't have a whole lot of time left, but because time is flying by. But what has happened since then? What's happened to your identity? How did God walk you through that?
He gave me my husband, and my husband is a gift to me. He gave me my two boys, just restored. God is so faithful that he says that he will restore. He will give back double of what we lost, and I am proof of that, of his blessings.
That's awesome.
Of giving That's me awesome. Back so much of what I lost.
That's awesome.
And not for me, but to go out into this community. When we moved back to Palm City, I remember running at the time when I was running. I would run the perimeter of Palm City and pray, Lord, you've brought us here.
Yeah.
This is not for us. Use right. me in this community. And I've watched him be faithful to taking my story and my journey and allowing me to speak to people that he's put in front of me that he knew were in a place where I was that I could speak to. And he's sent me in all different places, from working with First Priority to Fellowship of Christian Athletes to being a track coach for 2 years. So wherever he's opened the door for me to go, and it's mainly been working with youth, I've gone. And I've watched him be faithful to use me in that space to speak into them, to let them know, right? Ephesians 1, you're chosen, you're forgiven, you're adopted, you're redeemed, you're his child. Those powerful truths that he has restored to me. Do I still struggle some days? Yes, because I'm human. But I know the voices now that I need to shut out, and I know the voices I need to listen to.
Well, you know who you are. You
yes.
know who you are. And you know, you give so many great scriptures in here, but you say part of the testimony is to the importance of knowing who you are in God.
Yep.
So what's just a couple conditions that you would say would indicate someone is struggling with knowing their identity? What are, because you've been there. What are those deep, dark thoughts and struggles? Because someone's saying, I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm just messed up.
The first thing I would say is you're not messed up, that God loves you, that he has a plan in all of that, which maybe you can't understand at the time.
Yeah.
And that I would say, get the help that you need. Instead of holding all that in, go to someone that's that trusted source, whether it's the friend, the parent, the therapist, and get all of that yuck out, because then Satan doesn't stand a chance. And most importantly, is coming into a relationship with the Lord, because he's the only one that can heal it,
yeah.
The only one that can redeem it, and getting in with a group of people that can be around you to support and encourage that.
You
that
need
faith
that.
Walk. Yeah.
You need that alliance
yeah.
in your life for sure. I didn't approach this morning like a teaching approach. Mm-hmm. However, not for me, but from you. I would like you to prepare to do that in one of my Wednesday lives and share one of these chapters, because you have so much to unwrap.
Yeah.
And your book is so well written. In fact, toward the end, you have question and challenge
yes.
in this book. Question and challenge. Since I have the book, I'll read it. I know you know it. But okay. What things in your life happened that stole your identity?
Mm-hmm.
That may have caused you to put up walls you may have up still today.
Yes.
Write them out. Take your time. Be honest with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Yes.
You did that, didn't you?
Yes.
Did you live this stuff?
I did. I okay. still do to this day.
Still do.
I got to get myself in check, right? It's a daily walk. We've never
right.
arrived. We're in process. And I have to sit with myself some days and say, okay, hold on a minute. What is this feeling going on?
Yes.
I got to sit and I let the Lord walk me through. Like, some days it's stuff where he tells me and it's like, I really? Like, I don't want to hear that. But, right? You, part of that
Even
process,
though you know better.
Yes.
You,
of
you
healing
know, yeah.
is... listening to him guide our spirit and getting all that stuff out. So yes, I very much, these are practices that I have in place most
every
days
chapter
of my life.
Mm-hmm. Every chapter it comes to this conclusion: challenge, go back into the chapter, read the verses that tell you who you are in Christ, and then write them down.
Yes.
And you know, Gina, one thing that that I'm sure you do or have done or thought through is if we can take these verses and write them down in our own words,
yes,
they become a part of the living story of God's grace in our life. And it's so awesome because, you know, you just tell your story and you write out of really the heart of God. And it's a beautiful thing. And you have 2 Corinthians in here. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, what's it say? You know it. I know you haven't.
Not in condemnation.
Yeah, there's no condemnation.
No condemnation. Yeah.
There's therefore no condemnation, those who are in Christ. And this is a great book. Once again, people can find your books by doing what?
Go on Amazon, and you can type in my name, Gina M. Coulter, and they'll pop up.
They'll pop up that way.
Yep.
Well, I'm going to ask you back.
Okay.
More than once.
I would love that.
Because I do believe that something I was reading this morning in Jonathan Kahn's book, we're moving into the month of Nisan. Mm-hmm. And that means that the month of Nisan is new beginnings. It's spring. Mm-hmm. It's light. And we're moving out of the season of winter, which is the dark.
Yes.
And the dead.
Yes.
And the grave. And it's a new season.
Amen.
It's a new season. And it's a new season for our nation.
Amen.
It's a new season, I believe, for the church.
Amen.
It's a new season, I believe, for young people. I believe there are a lot of young people,
yes,
that are saying, you know what? I grew up with mom and dad repeatedly messing up, and I know there's got to be more. And you might be listening today, and you may be in that position. You may be a mom or dad that said, I messed it up big time. And maybe you have a daughter like a Gina that struggles. Maybe your daughter's still struggling. Maybe your son is still struggling. Mm-hmm. But it's not too late. Gina, I would like you just to lead us in a invitation and a closing moment of prayer for those individuals, first of all, that are seeking to find their way home,
yes,
to where it's safe and they are able to have peace and able to find out, what in the world am I here for?
Yes.
Why am I here? Lead us, yes, in that prayer.
Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. I thank you, God, for everything you've done in my life, everything you've redeemed and restored. And God, I know that there are those listening today, God, who need your touch, who need to come in relationship with you, God, that I pray, God, at the sound of my voice, that they would hear yours, that I pray, God, that you would tug on their heart, Lord, that they would sit wherever they're at, and they would ask you for forgiveness for their sin, that they would ask you into their heart. And it's just as simple as them talking to a friend, that I pray, God, in those areas of their life that are hidden, where there are walls built up, where there's bitterness and resentment and those things that create shame and self-hatred, God, I pray release from those today. And in Jesus' name, I pray release from those today. I pray, God, that your spirit would just come down and touch them wherever they're at, and they would feel freedom, a freedom that only you can give, Father God. And I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, for your power, for your grace, for your love that will pour out on anyone today that's listening, that needs to be touched by you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And for all of those parents, the parents that the enemy's saying, you have failed. You have failed. What a lie from the devil.
Yes.
And we just declare that what the enemy has intentionally strategized to bring destruction, yes, into your home, and into your family, and into your future. In Jesus' name, there's a plan of deliverance and new beginning in Jesus' name.
Yes.
In,
amen,
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now, Gina, are you going to be willing to come back? Did we beat you up too bad today?
I would love to come.
Okay. And you're welcome to stick around if you want to stick around for the rest of the time. We have another guest that's coming in. Gina Coulter, a dear friend, family's dear friend, was very blessed to be able to hang out with your mom and dad on a lot of occasions, and your dad in particular. And we had a lot of great conversations, and I must get you back in here to talk about some of your father's journey.
Yes.
And, you know, I believe the body of Christ just needs to know that messed up doesn't mean that God can't clean you up.
Amen.
So, yes, you know, you might be really messed up today, and you're like, you just don't know how messed up I am. No, I probably don't. I probably don't even want to know. But I can tell you this. I know that God has a plan to straighten it out.
Yes.
So we're going to see if we can get Kim to come in and join us, and we'll see if she's able to come in, and we're going to see if we have some music we can go to at this time as well.
Do you want me to go get her?
Yeah, let's see if we can find her out here. See if we can bring her in.
I can't really see through the window.
Yeah. There we go. I got it going. Jeremy Camp here.
A dreamer, now you don't believe. Are you the lock that got so broken? Now you lost the key. Someone still loves who you are. Yeah. To everyone who ever lost your way, to everyone who ever felt ashamed, here's a song for all the broken hearted. I believe you're only getting started. Anyone who trusts in Jesus' name, watch your world become forever changed. Here's a song about light from darkness. I believe you're only getting started. If you only knew the treasure that you really are, if you could understand the measure of the Father's heart. He loves you, He loves you, He loves you. Fall in His arms and let Him wash you clean. He'll tear off the chains so that you can be free. The new life begins and the old is redeemed. Oh, I believe, yeah. To anyone who ever lost your way, to everyone who ever felt ashamed, here's a song for all the broken hearted. I believe you're only getting started. To anyone who trusts in Jesus' name, watch your world become forever changed. Here's a song about light from darkness. I believe you're only getting started. A song for all the broken hearted. I believe you're only getting started. To anyone who trusts in Jesus' name, watch your world become forever changed. Here's a song about light from darkness. I believe you're only getting started.
Amen. Well, we have more guests than I even thought we were going to have. So we have Kim Stryker, who is with us, and she has headphones on that don't seem to be working, but maybe they're working. And where did you come from, Barry? Barry from Taken TV is here. Wow.
Wow. Yeah, I just got kind of lost on the way and said, oh. Well, I know that place.
Yeah, let's stop.
That's a cool place.
Glad
let's
you go there, bro.
It couldn't be that incidental cool or coincidental, right? For sure.
Not at all.
Wow. Well, we've already had a powerful morning. Listen, you are listening to WCNO in Palm City, Florida. I almost said maybe I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it. We are one of the biggest mouths for God.
Yeah.
On the east coast of Florida.
Hallelujah.
We're not going to apologize for that anymore. We're just going to put it out there and say, you know, the enemy may not like it, but God's given us a very big voice, and we're thankful for that. And it's exciting to have Kim with us today and Barry with us today, and we have some great things coming up. Kim, where have you been? We haven't seen you in a while.
I've been really busy with my day job, and that's just kept me from getting down here as much as I really
want
to.
Busy with your day job.
Yeah. Eighth grade science teaching.
Okay.
It's been wild lately. But I'm still doing Heart for Hollywood Bible study every other week.
And you do an awesome job. Did I ever tell you that?
Oh, thank you.
You do an awesome job.
I work really hard to get the word out about the upcoming films, and I'm still doing the screenings and the invites for all the leaders. And
so excellent.
I'm still doing that, and I definitely want to come back and get with Karen
soon
and get some more pieces going on the radio, because there's so much going on, God's moving crazy in Hollywood.
We have some calendar stuff we need to talk about. We have some big events that's coming up. Barry, what's up with you? Since you have this big studio and you're uptown and they're calling for you all over from all the nations. I don't see as much of you. What's happening?
Oh, we're growing. We're we're going to be speaking to Marty a little bit later, and we're working on a new project with him. We're going to be transferring, taking TV over to his platform.
And, I love it.
It's going to give us a lot more opportunity to reach a lot more people and give our content creators opportunity to do more and to be able to take donations and monetize some of their content so they can create more content.
Awesome.
What God's called them to do.
Awesome. So Barry, my word is, just remember, when you're rich and famous and God has you on the top of the mountain, don't forget we little people, that are down here in the valleys, still trying to plug it out. You've been a dear friend of ours, and you're a great networker. You do a great job. Kim, let's come to you. What's coming up? We have a big festival coming.
Okay, so the International Christian Film Festival that we've been partnering with for several years now.
We have. It's
very
awesome.
Exciting. It's going to be in Orlando again.
Okay.
New location, the Doubletree SeaWorld. And they had to get a bigger, better venue.
Isn't that awesome?
Because it's a bigger, better festival every year.
Okay.
So it's going to be from April 30th to May 3rd. And they can buy their tickets online on their website. Marty can tell us more about that, and I imagine there'll be some free tickets maybe through WCNO.
Maybe. We're hoping for that.
So people can call in, and if you want to go to their website, it is the word international spelled out. So it's internationalcff.org. And if you go there, you can learn about these wonderful speakers that they're going to be having. There's producers there, actors that you've seen in all your favorite Christian film and family-friendly films, and lots of workshops, music, because it's now the International Christian Film and Music Festival. Mm-hmm. So they've included a lot of music, too, not just composing for films, but just Christian music in general. And they have wonderful worship services there.
Absolutely.
The spirit is moving in that festival, and you just feel it from the time you walk in the door. And then when they start having the intro to any program, whether it's a workshop or a panel discussion, they usually lead it off with some sort of music worship, and it's always mind-blowing.
Fantastic. So, every year when we come to this point, we're talking about the International Christian Film and Music Festival this year. I'm thinking that so many times people come to church and they have a certain routine they're in, and they hear something like this and they go, I don't know what that is. What in the world is International Christian Film and Music Festival? And who would go to that? I mean, why would I go to that? You've talked about worship, so that's pretty profound. But
right. Okay, so he's going to have Marty and his team, they review submissions of films that are feature length, short films, trailers. They have lots of categories. They go through all the films and they find the best of the best. And then you can come and watch them with your ticket. You can watch as many films as you want. You can stay the whole week. You can speak to the artists, because after every film, usually I'm going to say, I can't say 100% of the time, some of the actors, the producers, the directors, the people involved in making the film will be there for a discussion. So you actually get to hear the stories of how God's worked in these people's lives to allow them to make these beautiful films that they're making. And it makes it so much more exciting, as if you just love watching movies, you will love the film festival, because you're going to see these movies before they come to the big screen, before you have to go pay for them in the theater, and you're going to get to meet all the people behind the scenes that made the movie.
Yeah. All right. What is the chance that we might be able to reach Marty if we just called him?
Oh, I think there's a very good chance. God has been doing all these divine appointments. I'm going to assume yes.
Let's see what happens if we just put a call out. Marty, are you there?
Hello? I am here.
Oh. This is Jonathan from WCNO Christian Radio, Palm City, Florida. We are the Big Mouth for God right here on the east coast of Florida. I have in studio a couple people I think you know. I have Kim here, and I have Barry. And I'm so glad that you answered the phone. You have a big event coming up.
Well, thank you so much. Yes, I love Kim and Barry.
Ditto.
So tell us what's gonna be happening. We're just trying to get the word out, and Kim and Barry came in to help us with that, and wanted to reach out to you as well. I know that you're going to have some time with David on one of his programs coming up a little later. But what do you have to say to our audience today here on Wednesday Live?
Well, thank you so much. We really have a super exciting event this year. We're celebrating 13 years, and that's, for us, is a big milestone. Mm. And we're very excited that there's so many amazing movies that is coming out. And what we have seen is that filmmakers have really stepped up their game, which is good to see. And we see that now all over. We see even Netflix is doing faith-based content. We see Amazon doing faith-based content. We see all the studios doing faith-based content. So thank you, God, for that. It says a lot about our Christian filmmakers, and it's sending the message. So with this festival, you get to see a lot of those types of films and also talk to these filmmakers, these artists, these actors. And if you enjoy, you know, good Christian films, this is the place to be.
Well, I'll tell you what, I love Christian films, and you are right. I am seeing more and more. We are no longer connected to any of the services. We just are online, so we can bounce. We can go to Take a Network. We can, you know, we can go where we want to go. And there are so many more Christian films that are on TV today and online that are just fantastic. And so we're blessed to have you joining us. And Kim, we were just kind of interacting because some people are saying, you know, why would I go to a film festival? But I think about this all the years, Marty, as a pastor. For many years, we did passion plays. We did The Gospel According to Scrooge. We would have thousands of people come to these outdoor events we had here in Florida. And I love being a part of all those things. I love the drama. And somehow, I don't know that churches are doing as much as this today, but this would be a great place for worship pastors, for young people that are looking to find out what God might want them to do in their life that have different talents. What would you say about that? Who would you put an invitation out to?
Yeah, I mean, this is for everybody. Last year, there was a young lady that I gave a ticket to, and this was like 6 or 7 years ago, and she came to the festival for the first time to bring her kids, right? So that they can be exposed. And the crazy thing that happened is that they met someone at the festival that connected them somehow to Garth Brooks, and now they're working with him. And not only that, the parents started doing movies herself. She started, now she's in these films. She that never thought in her lifetime that she would be doing these things. So you never know what God is doing, where he may lead someone.
That's absolutely awesome. That's absolutely awesome.
Yeah, I was going to say, it is an amazing networking opportunity. So if you don't have to just go and watch movies, but this is a great time to meet producers, actors, directors. I think you're offering free headshots this year. Is that right, Marty?
Yes, we are. Yes.
So if you're thinking about going into acting and you want to have a chance to...
explain a headshot. You know,
I'm
a gator bite. You know, I grew up in the swamp, Marty. You got to have mercy on me. So what is a headshot?
I'll let Kim go ahead and explain that.
Okay, so if you would like to have any opportunity to audition for a movie or even be an extra somewhere, at some point they're going to want your picture.
Promo.
So a headshot is where you have a professional photographer who's going to have good lighting. They're going to have you direct you on how you want to pose, and you're going to have a nice sample of how you could look, how you do look, something basic. You don't want to be overly made up and all that. It's very natural, so they can see how many ways they might be able to use you in a film. They're always after a certain look besides your audition and how you come across as an actor, but you have to have a look. So these headshots are your calling card to be in any kind of visual performance. It's not a modeling type of thing. It's a headshot for film. And it's really great to meet a good professional photographer. Some people, it may be their opportunity to have their first ever headshot. So that alone is a giant opportunity for young people who are thinking and going in the industry, plus the amazing people you're going to meet. And you're meeting good people. You're meeting good Christian people who are doing God's call in this industry.
So what is the red carpet about? I always, you know, you all go. I haven't made it yet, Marty. I want to go. Maybe at one of these times there's going to be some tickets I could afford, you know, to get up there. But one of these days I'm going to get to go. But I hear about the red carpet. I hear about the, you know, what that's about. What is that?
Yeah, I think Barry could explain it really well because he has done a lot of those red carpets at ICFF for the last seven or eight years.
Pull the mic up, Barry. Tell us about red carpets.
Okay, well, it's an awesome experience on the Saturday night before the awards ceremony. And it's just where there's different levels of tickets that you can buy, but it starts out with, you know, the VIPs, the actors that a lot of you already know. They'll actually get the opportunity to walk the red carpet and talk a little bit about a film or whatever their project is. And there's you know, a bunch of photographers, a bunch of news organizations, different places that are actually interviewing them while they're walking the red carpet. And it's like a mini one, you know, for the Oscars and all that, you know, so it's really cool. So I've had the opportunity to manage the teams on there, the photography or some of the videographers doing the interviews and all that. So that's been a fun experience. I would like to mention something else if I have the opportunity here. You know, some people listening to this may say, well, I don't know, I didn't get any free tickets or whatever, but there is an opportunity, and this is actually how I got started about 8 years ago. I actually found out about the festival and said, oh, man, this is really cool. I'd like to check this out. You know, I really wasn't even in media at the time. And so I said, yeah, I'm going to go to this. So I researched and saw that they had volunteer positions. And so that's what I did. I had the talent of photography. So I volunteered to be a photographer.
That's
and so
right.
I did that like 1 or 2 years, and then I moved up and started, you know, managing the team and, you know, doing video and, you know, all aspects of it. But if someone can't afford to go, but it's in their heart or some desire, they need to reach out, go on to the, I'm not sure what, Marty can tell us what website they need to go on for that to volunteer, but that's a way somebody should go if they really have a desire to go to the festival because they're always needing volunteers, and it's actually a great experience. You actually get up close with a lot of the people that you don't even normally get up close to, and get a chance to really, really meet them. I mean, that's actually, ICFF was very influential in me taking, starting taking TV. So, yeah.
That's awesome. That's absolutely awesome. Marty, we didn't actually introduce you properly, so please tell us what this is all about, and I love your heart. I love your heart for God, and I have to ask you, why do you do what you do?
Well, there's a big need, as we know. Media is the tool that the enemy uses, as we know. The most, and we have to use the same tools to attract people to Christ. This is the number one reason why I do what I do, because we have to use media as the tool to bring people to Christ, right? Films are most powerful, where I can say to a atheist friend, let's go watch a movie versus let's go to church. Right? What's easiest? You know, what is the most likely thing that person will say, okay, let's do that? They're most likely will say, I'll watch the movie. I'm not saying some will not go to church, but it's a great way to introduce them to Christ by inviting them to a movie, to watch a movie, whether it's at your house or in a theater.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So this is the 13th year. You started with how many, and where are you today? What is the response? What do you see happening in the body of Christ in response to what God's doing with this area?
It has been incredible. It's a great journey, and it's a great time for us Christians, because as we can see, the world is embracing Christian films, which is beautiful to see. We see Hollywood getting on board, right?
Amazing.
We know that they're not necessarily doing it because they believe in Christ, but it doesn't matter. They're behind it, and people are being saved as a result of that. So the world is paying attention. So all the sacrifices, all the support, that's why we as Christians, we have to keep supporting these filmmakers that are doing these things. We have to support channels like Taken TV so that they can do more and do greater things.
Well, I believe that's important to address. How can pastors, how can the body of Christ best support? How do we do this? I mean, how do we make this happen? Again, I'm a pastor. I remember the day when I'd get a phone call, seemed like every month somebody was trying to get me to buy their videos to run a series at the church or to run a production at the church. How does this work today? How can Christian people in the church connect with this area of ministry that is so needed?
It's so huge. The first thing is we need to pray for our producers, all the filmmakers, all the content creators. They need it because the enemy is attacking them left and right, right? So they need that support. That is the number one thing. The second thing is we need to support them, right, when they do create. A lot of times, when people hear there's another Christian movie, they don't support it, right? Even though it may be really, really good. I see that a lot of non-Christians go to Christian movies, and Christians are staying behind. And I think we as Christians, we have to support the cause, you know? Yes. We have to support our people because they are doing it to save lives, to bring people to Christ. We have to get to know which films are out there. That's why the festival is important. It introduces you to these films, to these filmmakers, and you get to hear their heart for Christ.
So I know Kim wants to address this. I just have to ask this question. I remember in the day when Christian films seemed to be when you just saw them, they were like low budget. And, you know, it was sort of like a bad Western where, you know, you could see both the front of the stage and the back. And when they had a fight, you know, you already knew what was happening before it happened. And so I know there were some of those and people endured those and like, oh, no, our church is having another film night. But what's happening? Kim, I know something's on your heart.
No, I was just going to say, as far as what can pastors do, for one thing, I work really hard to get the word out about Christian films, and I call I don't know how many pastors and email them. If you can't go, maybe every pastor could designate someone who's going to represent them to go to the early screenings before the movies come out in the theater. If that person goes to enough movies, they're going to have a good sense of what's a good one and what's not, what is safe for the pastor to recommend through the church, and go ahead, show the trailers as part of your worship service. Buy group tickets. They're so affordable when you buy them as a group, even at 10 tickets apiece. You know, buying ahead for opening weekend, that sends a message to the big people in Hollywood who are going to fund movies that this is in demand. They can see it. It's happening now. But the other thing is, I'd like to quote Karen Cavell from Hollywood Prayer Network. It's the most influential mission field in the world because the influence of media is bigger than one person talking to one person. Not that one-on-one is everything, but we still, it as